Mr. Rogers was an extraordinary man. And I think in some ways, there's been a resurgence of him lately, and I think his wisdom and the lessons he taught has grown over time. And this video was shown last week or 2 weeks ago on Google. So if you went to the homepage of Google to do a Google search, they had this because it was his birthday. Is that correct? It was his birthday. And so they made this video, and somehow, I think at this point in time in our culture and our history, that this message of kindness and of loving people, loving kids the way they are, is needed. And I think that's what makes him extraordinary, is that he treated children as very important people. People that also need to be loved, need to be told that they were okay for who they are, that's where it starts. Because if we aren't told that you are loved when you're a child, when you grow older, what happens? You don't love yourself, you don't love your neighbor, you don't love those around you. Mr. Rogers was trying to break down some barriers, that children are important, what they're doing is important, what we teach them, how we treat them is very important. And so later in the service, we're going to have scripture read. It's going to be the Good Samaritan story. And in the Good Samaritan story, what is happening is Jesus is doing many different things. And Jesus, just like any of his teachings, are kind of layered, right? We can talk about this story over and over again. We can have multiple sermons on it because every time we read it, we get something different out of it. But today, one of the things I want to talk about that we can get out of this story is Jesus himself is breaking down barriers during this story. There's a teacher of the law. Also, hang on, pause 1 second. I forgot to say, kids, you have a bingo card in your bag. So now I'm going to say some words in my sermon. All right? And they're on that bingo card. So you got to listen closely. This is how we listen, okay? All right, resume. Okay. What Jesus is doing is he's breaking down barriers because the teacher of the law says, Jesus, what is the greatest law from Moses? And the law is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So then the teacher asks, well, who is my neighbor? So Jesus goes into the story and talks about the Good Samaritan. We're all kind of familiar with that. A Hebrew gets beat up and robbed on his way traveling, and so the person that actually ends up helping them is a Samaritan, which the Hebrews and the Jews, they did not like at all. They were kind of the enemy of their people. And so Jesus is breaking down a barrier and saying, guess what? This person that you don't like, this person that you don't think has any good in them whatsoever, they are the one in the story that is the neighbor, the one that is acting out compassion and grace towards somebody who needs it. So then the question is, who is our neighbor? Jesus within this is also kind of pointing out that almost everybody and everything is our neighbor. That it's not just people around us, but it's all the things we interact with. Because we're going to talk about more in the second meditation on this sermon, but there is something about the way we treat someone else or something else that makes them our neighbor. In Cincinnati in 2017, there was a hippo prematurely born named Fiona. And Fiona was premature, and they had to bottle feed her, and it was just a very kind of just take step by step over a couple weeks. And what happened was, some of you are familiar with it already. It became an internet sensation. It was kind of a big story around Cincinnati for a while. And it's one of those rare things that the whole community is kind of holding their breath for, cheering the hippo on, something that is bonding us together. These things that bond us together are showing us that it's not just maybe humans that are our neighbor, but it's those creatures around us. In Colorado, we're very aware of that we don't just share our neighborhood with other people, but we share it with deer, elk, voles, whether you like it or not, rabbits, bears sometimes, mountain lions. We're very aware in Colorado that all the things around us are our neighbors, and I think we're very healthy about that, reminding ourselves that these are our neighbors and we have to take care of them. Fiona is kind of that small glimpse of when it happens well, that we start to realize that we are for life no matter what kind of life it is. And this is a fun picture. What happened? Fiona's all good and growing healthy and well, but there was a proposal at the zoo in front of her exhibition or whatever you call it, or tank, and she sat there and witnessed the proposal. And they caught it on camera. This can show us that there's a wider perspective about neighbor, that it doesn't just fall towards people, but it's creation. Everything that God has given us, this gift that God has given us, all of life can be our neighbor. And once we think that way, we can't go anywhere now without seeing our neighbors. In our Bible story, Jesus is telling us to expand our view of our neighbor and who our neighbor is. And you can open your eyes up to it. You could see that maybe the people downtown Denver who are homeless are your neighbor. Maybe the person who's immigrated to this country that starts working in your office is your neighbor. That the old man down the street is your neighbor. The kids next door to you who are loud are your neighbors. It can be physical that you are actually neighbors, or it could be just within your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state. When we start expanding our view of neighbor, it gets hard to ignore, and it gets hard for us to try and ignore how to act, how to give compassion and love to our neighbors. Our neighbors are all around us, and Mr. Rogers, through his work, reminds us that they are all around us, that we should have compassion and love towards them, that the best neighbor is the neighbor that cheers you on, the neighbor that is for you, the neighbor that loves you, takes care of you, helps you out. When I was a kid, I would have piano lessons on Thursdays. And after school, I would wait at school. My mom would come pick me up because I would usually ride the bus and they would drop me off at home. This Thursday, particular Thursday, I think I was around kindergarten, first grade, so pretty young. And I forgot I had piano lessons. And I got on the bus, and they took me home and dropped me off. And then I got home, and nobody was home. And usually for me at that age, when I got home, somebody would be home. So I started to panic. Have any of you had that moment of panic, right? And when you're a kid, that gets much more amplified. And so I started crying. Like, it's the ugly cry that you can't console, right? That no matter what you do, I'm going to keep crying. And so the first thing I did when I couldn't find any family, and then I started to realize, oh no, I had a piano lesson, I forgot. And then you're starting to think, oh, mom's going to be mad at me, and my piano teacher's going to be mad at me. So everything keeps rolling, you're ugly crying, and I go next door to our neighbor, which so happened to be my aunt. But but the neat thing about, even though it was family, they weren't very close family. Like, we didn't go over there all the time. Their kids were grown up already. My dad was kind of the youngest of the family, so their kids are all grown up and have kids. And so I never really were connected with them much. But I went over there, and she took care of me. She called my mom and gave me comfort in a moment that I needed it. No matter who you are, that's something we all want to strive to do for our neighbors. No matter who they are or what they are. There is a special episode on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood where Officer Clemens and Fred Rogers shared a pool together to wash their feet because Mr. Rogers said it was hot out, and Officer Clemens came in and he said, "Won't you join me?" Now, to us nowadays, it's like, oh, cool, that sounds fun. But at the time, this was very significant, because at the time, what was happening is that in pools around the country, they were still segregating blacks and whites, and they wouldn't want blacks in the pool with white kids because they felt like it contaminated the water or something. And so in a little kind of very subtle way, Mr. Rogers kind of spoke to that. And he was showing kids, look, we are sharing the same water and the same pool together. And it's okay. It's okay that they look different than us. It's okay. And he had this strange, not strange way, but this wonderful way of just kind of dampening fears a little bit through some of the things that he did. And this is also, if you have a theological mind, Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian pastor. And so for me, when I watch that too, I also see the significance of washing of the feet. Serving your neighbor, loving your neighbor by servanthood. I said earlier that there's a difference between knowing who our neighbor is and making somebody our neighbor. Mr. Rogers, in that segment, and I think he did it throughout the seasons of the show, and there's even a picture of, I think, the most recent season that they were still doing that. And Mr. Rogers, what he was doing was showing us how to make someone our neighbor. That it's not just simply knowing who our neighbor is, which are the people around us, creation around us, but when we act upon showing love and compassion to those who need it, they now are becoming our neighbor in a deeper way than before. It's not just being aware, it's making somebody more than just a neighbor, making it your friend. It's inviting them into something different, a relationship. And that's how you make a neighbor. For the priest and the Levite in Scripture today, they decided they didn't want to make the Jewish man their neighbor. They walked along the other side of the road, ignored them. They ignored the need for human compassion. I mean, it's one of those weird things where we often talk about this story and how the Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. And we kind of make light of that a little bit, but if you think about it deeply, it was kind of a racist issue back then. It was because of their ethnicity, of who they were, that they were judged upon, and so it was extreme. We like to say, oh, they just didn't like each other, but if we put that into our perspective, that they really, really didn't like each other, the story kind of takes on deeper meaning of how the Samaritan made the Jewish man his neighbor. I think it's a bummer if we think about that even if we saw somebody beaten up on the side of the road, suffering, bleeding, that we would walk past them. We tend to think today we wouldn't do that, but maybe there's some instances where we would. Maybe in our own hearts, if you take an exam in your own heart and soul, who are those people that you just feel like you have nothing in common with, that there's no common ground you can touch on with them, that there's absolutely nothing they could say or do to make you like them? I think some of us have those in our minds. Maybe it's Raiders fans. Maybe it's Vikings fans. But there are, if we look past some of those superficial sports dislikes, if we look deep in our hearts, all of us have prejudices in some way. But are they deep enough that we won't see our neighbor in need and help them? If they go that deep, then this story that Jesus is giving us is asking you to reevaluate your heart. And how you love your neighbor, how you make someone your neighbor. Tom, I don't know how to say it, Krattenmaker, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He wrote this book called Secular Jesus Follower. And in it, he talks about, he has a whole chapter on race and how he, as a secular person, perceives the Christian church or Christianity to deal with issues of race or not dealing with it. And he talks about the story of the Good Samaritan, and he says, in this story, Jesus extended himself to those of the lowest social status. He was willing to incur the authorities' wrath by associating with the wrong types of people, by telling stories that promoted their equal humanity, by actually elevating them to a kind of special status. Jesus is always intentional with his stories. The teacher of the law wanted to know God's greatest commandment, yet the teacher is still pushing Jesus to say, well, who is my neighbor? I get that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, but I want to know exactly who I should love because there's people I don't like. Instead of getting caught up in the trap of the politics of the question, Jesus opens it up and tells the teacher how to be a neighbor. He tells this story, and at the end when the teacher says, or when Jesus asks the teacher, which one of these was a neighbor to the man who was beaten up? And he said, the one who showed grace to him. So somehow, showing grace to somebody is making them your neighbor. Somehow that is kind of the status. That's where you put it. That's where Jesus said, this is the expectation of how to treat your neighbor. And that's with grace. Being open to all people in our neighborhood, because we all are walking different paths in life, different experiences. Maybe the kid down the street who's loud and acting out. Maybe their parents aren't home very often. Maybe the person down the street who yells at the kids that's on their lawn has had a hard life. That kids remind him of something he never had. When we start to think in ways that we put ourselves in other people's shoes, other people's experiences, it helps us to have more grace to make other people our neighbor. What you do makes you neighborly. When you help and who you help makes you a neighbor to those around you. And I think sometimes at this point we think of helping our neighbor is kind of a privileged status. Some of us may think, I can't really help them out. I don't have the resources to do that. That's somebody who has more money or more power or things like that, but I can't really do much to help. But in my story earlier about how I missed piano lessons and then I cried and went to my neighbor, it's just the little things. It's the way that you show love and compassion to those around you that makes them your neighbor, that changes their life. This story that Jesus tells, it's not a historical story. Jesus is telling a story, making a point. But if you can imagine that the Jewish man who was helped by the Samaritan, now that has changed his perspective and his life forever from that day forward. Because he has experienced grace and love and compassion from somebody that he believed did not have any of that in them. That is how we make others our neighbor. So where do we go from here? Knowing that our neighbor can be anything from the creation around us, from the creatures around us to our human counterparts, that acting out neighbor is a certain way of showing love and compassion and grace. I think one of the things that is unique in this scripture is the teacher asked Jesus, how do I gain eternal life? And Jesus answers that with this whole story. That somehow, loving our neighbor, showing compassion to those who are different than us, serving one another is a way to life. I remember one time, I think whenever, when you're a pastor, people ask you certain questions all the time. And families are no different. Your family tends to ask you questions to try and test you at where you're at and what you believe and things like that. I remember my in-laws were in town, and we were at Walmart here in Castle Rock. And every once in a while at Walmart, there's somebody who's homeless, you know, kind of asking for money on the corner. And I remember my mother-in-law asking me, "Jordan, what do you think about giving money to somebody who's homeless?" This is a test, right, in some way? Because the question is, for her, is giving money to them okay? Because what if they go spend it on drugs and alcohol and they just keep the cycle going? And that's everybody's concern. And so instead of, like, broaching that topic, I said, actually, what I perceive this is that it's not just about what you're giving them. But in the act of compassion and giving to them, you are changing your own heart, that you're becoming a more open person, willing to help out those who are in need, that sometimes it doesn't really matter what they do with the money afterwards, but there's a two-way street happening there, that they aren't just the ones benefiting, but you are also. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, that this is the way to life. To serve your neighbor, to love them, to have compassion on those that are in need, who are hurting. That this fills some kind of hole in our lives. A lot of you here are involved with a lot of different ministries that help people in our community, and you know firsthand what that feels like. It gives purpose. It makes you more loving towards not just random people, but your own family. It makes you more willing to serve no matter what. You'll turn into E.J. Barkledge soon, always ready to serve and jump up and do something. I say that because if you ever go on a mission trip with the youth and E.J.'s there, he's always going to jump in and serve however he can. So when you start to do those things more and more, it just becomes a part of your life and who you are and your purpose. Have you ever helped someone and it just made... Helping somebody else, has that ever made your heart explode afterwards? That you just felt good after you helped somebody? Raise your hand if you felt good after you've helped somebody. Yeah. Maybe it was also a time when you adopted a dog or a kitten and the love you got back in return. That somehow serving others, helping others, is what makes life life. That this isn't just a path to eternal life, but a path to living life now that extends into eternity. That it fills this hole, it gives purpose, and it gives love, and you become a different person because of it. It makes you feel more alive, like you've never felt. The Good Samaritan story teaches us that. Mr. Rogers teaches us that. Throughout the series, we're going to talk more and more about what it means to be a neighbor, who is our neighbor, how do we make people our neighbors. But today, take with you that everything around you is your neighbor. How we treat somebody makes them our neighbor. And that this is a path to life, to serve one another and to love one another.